again, one of the things that we are talking about is relationship and what he's desiring to do. One of God's characteristics is holiness. And so what he's expecting for those who are in relationship with him to exhibit those same characteristics of holiness. We live in a culture that is, you know, increasingly becoming decadent. The things that were, you know, horrific, you know, 25 years ago are commonplace. We get today legislation to justify immorality. This is how bad things are getting. And what has happened is, and it was said in this morning in the Bible study, is that unfortunately we in the Christian community have not been alert. We have not been discerning, and some of us and some in the Christian community even embrace the same very ideas and ideals that violate this principle of sanctification. Before we even go further, I would just make sure that we understand the word sanctification. Mm-hmm. We mentioned yesterday, and it was mentioned again today, that sanctification is what God has done. That was his will in terms of positionally sanctifying us in Christ Jesus. Sanctifying means to set apart. To set apart from something to something. Sanctified from that which is unholy, that which is filthy. The best illustration that helps me with this is dirty dishes. Mm-hmm. You have dishes in the sink that need to be washed. Well, you can rinse the dish off and stick it back in the dirty water, right? That's not sanctified. And very often that's, you know, what we do. We come to conferences and we feel that we're rinsed off, but then we're right back into the mess that we were in before. But sanctified means that you get out of the mess, you get cleaned up, and then you get set apart into the dryer, into the drain, so that you can be prepared to be used again. So sanctification is really separated to God for his use. And he requires holy vessels. So being aware that in this world, which is opposed to God, and just love those comments about the fact it's the proof of God's existence, when there is this complete moral slide, what God is calling his own to be is to live, not just talk about it, but to live the holy standard of the standard of holiness, rather. One of the things that if you kind of keep track of what's going on in the culture, mostly here in North America, is the voice of the Christian community is muted. And I want you to think about this. The voice of the Christian community is muted because the Christian community itself has not been vigilant and watchful to maintain this very principle of holiness, of morality, both in the sexual arena as well as in general. In business, in human relationships, the Christian community, his voice is muted. We can't, and now we're talking yak, and the rest of the world looks at us like Job's son-in-laws and said, "What are you talking about?" And I think it's a very sobering reality, at least in my mind, of why this is such an important thing. It's God's character, but it also gives us ability to have a voice to the world at large.
And just to clarify, you probably would be aware of this, but all of these words, sanctify, sanctification, holy, holiness, saint, these are all the same word, all the same meaning, the same word, really, noun, verb, adjective. But and when we have different sources in English for these words, and so they come across differently. But you could say your sanctification, if that were a word, that's what this word is. Your sanctification, your holyification. That's what's happening here, and it's.
You're a teacher. That's scary.
The idea, the opposite of holiness, the opposite of sanctification is commonness. Hallowed. Remember the showbread that David and his men were given? The priest who gave it to him said, well, the bread is in a manner common, even though it has been sanctified. The opposite of holy is common. So you might say, if it doesn't sound too ordinary, this is the will of God, your uncommonness. But not to be uncommon just because we're different, but to be, as Mark was pointing out, it always has the aspect of being uncommon for God, set apart to God. And it just struck me as the passage was being read. Look at verse 5. Don't be like the Gentiles who do not know God. The relationship is part of this response to the will of God. Why did God want us to live this way? It will display that we know God, that He is there, that He has rights, that He has authority, and that we know His rights and we reverence His rights. We love God. We want to respond to Him. We know Him. We're not going to just let our lusts, our desires, our personal preferences and interests and wants take over. We're going to possess our own bodies. Maybe a little bit more on that, and then we'll look for some other passages.
One comment I'd just like to make is that it's interesting that these phrases, these verses are very clear. This is the will of God. There's no, like, question about it. Sometimes we might wonder, what is God's will? This is very clear. This is the will of God. And it's interesting that these issues of unthankfulness or unholiness are major attacks. If you think about it, it's very common in our society. So it's interesting that Satan would attack that very thing that we know is the will of God.
I just wanted to put some scripture to some of the things that we've been saying. Going back to what Mark was saying about sanctification is turning to God. Thinking of those at Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, it says this. And keep in mind that Paul is reminding them here in chapter 4, continue on in the condition that you are in. You are sanctified. You were sanctified. He was only with them for 3 weeks. And this is, they got it in 3 weeks. Some of us have been walking with the Lord for a long, long time and we didn't get it yet. But they got it in 3 weeks. And he says this, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, from whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Just the thought here in this verse that true sanctification is not separating from something. And we need to keep that in mind. True sanctification is first separating to something that's more attractive than what we're separating from. So again, it brings back that relationship idea. So it's the fact that my hearts are drawn out to the Lord. We could draw in going out to Him outside the camp, Hebrews. We could draw in 1 Peter chapter 2, coming to Him. So it's that He's attractive. He's the one that draws our hearts. And then this thought of with a purpose is to serve the living and true God. So there's the purpose. There's the sanctification that we're separated apart, set apart for a purpose. Okay. And then just one other scripture in the thoughts of talking about the world that we live in. If you just turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I think there's some important verses. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So he sets that before them because it's the character of God. And it comes back again. What is he doing in us? He wants to make us like him. He wants us to manifest. He wants us to display his character, his features. So he says, be holy, for I am holy. But in chapter 2, I want to drop down to verse 9. He says, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He says, you're a set apart group of people. You're set apart for me. You're a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim, and I'm going to change it. My Bible, which is the New King James, says the praises of him who called you out of darkness. I prefer to say the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. We're supposed to proclaim by our life who we're attached to. And that goes back to what Mark says. But then look down here at the rest of this verse. To proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now the people of God who had obtained mercy. And then he goes on to speak about in verses 11 and 12, the character in which we're to have and the conduct which we're to have. So I just want to underline with Scripture the very thoughts that we've been discussing, because it's really, really important.